Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law right here on WRJM Live 95.5 FM. Hey, we are Coleman's only rock station, by the way. Double threats in the house. We're still waiting on Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings to arrive at the studio. You know, he may have forgot about us. I bet he did. He has his own show when he forgets to come by. But anyway, hey, look, I have a special guest. Ella is with me. Ella Abbott, she says.
Hey, y'all.
So Ella has been hanging out with little D all day today, and so we decided to bring her to the studio. And she's actually been on the Big D radio show and actually got interviewed and hung out with me before. So she is not a newbie to radio. She would actually make a really great DJ. There's no doubt about it. So, Ella, looks like you've got school coming up pretty soon, and you are going to start going to West Elementary, which is your school, and you're going to be in the fifth grade. So are you excited about going back to school?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Very excited. Well, look, somebody's pulling up now. I don't know if that's Ella's ride or who it is, but hey, look, we're finally getting some rain, and very much needed rain. So I don't know how long it's going to last, but the temperature drop has been very grateful. I mean, we've dropped down in the mid-80s, and whew, we needed it. So we planted a garden several months ago, and the tomato plants are just kind of drying up. I mean, they're dying quick. It's crazy. So it's almost time to pull up all of the tomato plants at the Big D house. It's a
beautiful blooms.
Oh, the beautiful blooms, but wow, toward the bottom, they're just dying on us. And look, let me tell you something. It was incredible how many cherry tomatoes will grow on one plant, in case you've never planted one. So I think I had like six plants, and oh my goodness. Hey, look, I guarantee you there was like 1,000 or 2,000 of those little cherry tomatoes, and handed them out to everybody, friends, family, coworkers. And but hey, you know what? It's fun. If you've never had a garden, you definitely need to do it. So look, we're talking about gardening on a law show. So what do you think about that?
Now, our squash honey did not do well.
Yeah, squash didn't do well. So that's the Big D Farmer's Almanac right there for you, and which I never go by, and everybody else goes buys it religiously, but I don't. You know what? I think I've only seen that book maybe one time, and that's it. So I'm not big on the Farmer's Almanac like everybody else is.
He doesn't believe in the Farmer's Almanac.
Well, look, you know,
when it comes to fishing, isn't it
things like about the moon is a certain thing, certain way, or full or half, and you only plant when it's full or half. I don't know. You know what? I just throw some plants in the ground, and that's it.
You throw some plants. You're so funny. Okay, so now we're talking about gardening. Let's talk about a funny. So the neighbor next door, she kept smelling manure. She kept telling her husband, "What is that smell? What is that smell?" Well, Daryl came up with this brilliant idea that we are going to buy some cow manure. So we bought 5 25-pound bags of cow manure, and we have like a little square that we.
Heck yeah, we tilled it in the ground. we put the plants in the ground. Within 1 week, I swear, each plant was a foot tall. In 1 week. That was incredible.
It was.
So now, that's your secret, and we did have two or three plants that was over 6 foot tall.
Yes, we did.
Tomato plants. So, Ella, have you ever planted tomato plants?
Yes, I have, but birds ate them, so birds that kind of... Yeah, birds ate them, so that was kind of a letdown right there. But I did. They happened. Two or three of them survived.
Now, you picked tomatoes at Mandy's today, didn't you?
Yes. And when I was like, oh, here's one, and here's another red one, and then I went inside, and y'all got, like, three boxes of them, and I said, oh, my God, how many tomatoes do you have? There's a lot.
Look, old Farmer D can he can grow some tomatoes now. Hey, you can have tomato sandwiches for a year around there if they would all stay good.
Farmer Little D takes care of
Farmer Little D. Well, look, I never get no credit for nothing.
He does. He helped.
Let me tell you something. I watched everybody plant and all that stuff. So
yes, you did.
I supervised.
You supervised. You micromanaged really well.
Yes, I did. And my supervisory skills made a lot of tomatoes come out of the ground.
Did.
So there you go.
And we have put up pickles, and we have put up peas, and we put up salsa. I made salsa and tomatoes.
So there you go.
So
not enough to sell, but look, we've got somebody in the studio. If she wants to just go ahead and drop on in here. Tanya, come on in. We're live on air, and you can say hello to everybody. Tanya from Good Hope School is in the house.
Ready for school to start?
Go ahead and have a seat. Sit down with us. Don't be afraid just because we're live on air and everybody in Coleman's going to be listening to you.
All right.
So, Tanya, are you ready for school to start down in Good Hope?
We are ready.
And if you'll just grab the mic, put it right there in front of your mouth because it is kind of sensitive. So go ahead and tell us exactly what you do at Good Hope School.
I am the principal at Good Hope Primary School.
The principal, and I believe beforehand that you was at ARAB High School. Is that correct?
I was at ARAB Elementary School
Elementary.
Yes.
And how long was you there?
For 3 years.
So the whole education thing, it's just kind of your thing that you like to do, evidently.
I love it. I love to see the kids every day, and it makes my day. And, you know, you can always have a bad day, and those kids just make it better. So,
I you know what? I can just imagine that, just being with the kids. But, you know, I mean, the kids, they don't know the problems of the world. You know, they're happy-go-lucky, and if they're like me, you know, when they get home, they play Wii, you know, and that's what I do.
We want our kids to read and to work on their math, but they do that, too.
I love Wii. That's the only thing I'm good at. So how many kids do you have, if you can take a guess, at the elementary school?
We're down this year a little bit, but we run about 340 to 350.
Just in the elementary?
In the primary. We're in kindergarten, first, and second.
That's a lot of kids. So what is Good Hope? Is it 5A now?
I think so.
Because I think it was 4A, and about 2 years ago, every classification went up one. So Good Hope may be 5A now.
Well, and you know, that's determined by the 11th and 12th grade numbers.
Well, I didn't know that. I thought it was overall. It's not overall.
It's the high school.
Mm-hmm. It's the high school. Well, I didn't know that. I learned something new today. So, look, Ella's been hanging out with us today. Not me, but Little D. And she's had a blast. She got to go shopping down at J&P's Coleman down in Good Hope next door to Jack's Truck Stop. And they got some really cool stuff. Have you ever been to J&P's?
I have. It's a great place.
Oh, man. So, Ella went down there. She got earrings.
Her little earrings she has on.
Yeah, look, she's styling.
She always looks great. Look at that. I love it.
Styling. So, yeah. And I think they went to the Busy Bee Cafe and had lunch. So my
what a great day.
I know.
Me too.
I think last time they went to CC's Pizza, I think.
We did. Went to the movies.
I won stuff from Bear
Commission. And she won. Look, she actually won today. Where was you at, Ella, today when you won?
Warehouse discount.
So, look, like, she's the master of this crane game. And one night, we all went to Denny's and ate, and I popped in like a dollar in there, and Ella just instantly wins. And I'm like, how do you do it? I could put $50 in there and not get one single silly thing, and I'd be mad. And Ella just, there you go. There you go, Big D. That's how you do it right there.
She has a knack for it.
She does. I gave her $30 at CC's, and she comes back with two prizes.
How about that? Look, and you know what? You really need one of those crane games at your house, don't you? You could just sit there and practice all day.
She could probably take some money off her friends and family if she had that, because none of us would win anything.
I'd be step right up. This game's definitely not rigged. Come on.
Oh, there you go. Oh, my goodness. She would be a heck of a salesman. Could you see Ella at a carnival? Step right up. We promise these milk containers do not have semen in them. And you know they do.
But
they all have semen in them, so you can't knock them down. But Ella would say, no, they're empty. Step up, $5.
At the fair game, like, I feel like if something like that happens, like, there's one that doesn't, and they're like, oh, yes, this is perfect. See, look how easy I just did it. And they put it back, and they're like, oh, why won't this knock down? And they're using, like, softballs. So that's probably right, how
look, she knows the entire system at a carnival.
I don't know what they're called, but the little gun games with a card, and you try to hit it. There's like one red spot, and I'm like, "Come on, man! Come on, really, really? It was that big, like that big?" And I'm like, "Really? Like I just..."
So Ella, do you like play all the games at the fair when it comes to Coleman?
And the rides.
Look, I would freak out if I ever got on a ride at the county fair. Let's be serious.
He's adventurous when it comes to...
She's not afraid of anything.
Oh, I know she's not. But yeah, that's not Big D.
I held a bunny today.
Oh, I seen that. You was at Pet Depot?
Mm-hmm.
And
it was
you,
so fluffy.
It was a dwarf bunny.
A dwarf bunny. What does that mean?
It's like 3 pounds
this big. It stays this big for the rest of its life.
So look, I'm going to give you some information. One time my nephew had a bunny rabbit at my dad's house in the city of Coleman. And I literally watched this. So we gave it some lettuce, and it ate it quickly. And I'm not lying, if it did not poop like 3.8 seconds later. And I'm like, that's true. That's crazy. You can't sit there and feed something. You have to feed it outside. Have you ever seen that, Tanya?
No. No, I haven't.
It's the craziest thing.
Instead of using a BB gun, you can just use your rabbit and give it lettuce.
There you go. That's all you got to do. So, are you wanting for a pet? Any chance?
I kind of want a hedgehog or a puppy.
A hedgehog or a puppy. No cats?
I do have a cat, but she's an old fart.
She's an old fart, so look, we don't need her anymore. It's time for her to get her own place. That's the way I look at it.
She's sweet. But
yeah, she's just a sweet old fart. She's got to go.
Yeah.
This is live radio. I'm going to say.
That's
but that's
true.
Okay.
That's true. It doesn't have to be radio. You'll never know.
Oh, me. So, how many animals do you have? Just the one cat at home? Is that all you got?
One time she killed a bird.
She killed a bird? Well, she was hungry. What do you expect?
Are you going to take Dee's job?
No, because eventually someone would want me to shut up, so.
Oh, no. No, if you're a DJ, you never shut up.
I'm good at that.
Now, and who do you get that from? Everybody's pointing at Tanya right now for some reason.
Yes.
Some reason. I don't know why.
So, Tanya, do you talk a lot at work?
I do. I have to talk with parents and teachers and kids a lot, so yes.
So what's the whole deal about this parent-teacher conference thing that you do 2 or 3 times a year? I mean, how many people do you talk to in one day?
Well, I sit in with some of the teachers, but, you know, oftentimes parent-teacher conferences, they think it's just for the kids that are having trouble or getting in trouble.
Right.
But oftentimes it's a way to talk about all the great things the kids are doing and to tell the parents how they can help their kids at home or, you know, to really brag on them. So sometimes it's not always negative, it's positive.
Awesome.
And as parents, they want to know how their child is progressing and how they can improve.
You know, and it's so huge for the parents to take a role at home to do as much as they can for their kid. Because let me tell you something. Here's my opinion. Everybody hates my opinion. Teachers are underpaid, number one. They don't get the credit that they deserve each and every day of the things that they do, that they go beyond from just being a teacher. So as a parent, it's your responsibility to teach that child as much as you can at home. That's my whole theory. Help them kids when they're doing homework if they need help.
Well, but sometimes with the math and the things that we do now, it's hard for parents to help them. So my philosophy...
it wouldn't do for me.
My philosophy is, you know, I think that we take them at school and we want to make sure that... And as a teacher, I did this. If I wanted to equip the kids with what they needed so they could go home and practice.
Okay.
Because when you go home, it should be a practice. Just like when you go play ball or dance or whatever it is you do... You practice.
Right.
It's your teacher's job to teach you what they want you to do, but then you can practice it at home.
Gotcha.
So we encourage our parents to read with their children, you know, have the child read a page, you read a page,
right.
Especially as they're learning to read, you know, and then work on math facts and things like that. But I don't feel like it's the parents' job to teach them. You know, we work on manners, and we want parents to reinforce that at home, too. Right. But we feel like it's our job to get them while we've got them, too.
Now,
as they get
you.
In high school, it's a
you.
Little different in middle school and upper elementary. But at the primary age, you know, we work on it.
Ella, do not be like me, because when I was in high school, I never carried a book home. Never. So don't do that. Always carry your books home.
Together, it could be like eating or something. They say, Miss Cup, Miss Cup, Miss Cup. And she's like, Hi.
Hi.
And I'm like, She's my aunt.
That's Ella's aunt right there. So, look, I agree. Yeah. I mean, having these kids and teaching them some manners, because I've seen so much stuff on YouTube, and it's just crazy for these kids to go into a school and act like a fool. And that just ticks me off to watch that, to have no manners whatsoever.
Well,
but you know what? That's
do y'all use the resource for the library, the public library?
Which resource?
Well, the www.homeworkalabama.org.
We've
the online tutors.
We've used that.
Used that?
But, you know, you're talking about respect. I want to go back to that. One of the things we try to do is we try to model that, because if kids don't see that at school and we don't show the kids the respect, then it's hard for us to ask that back from the kids.
Exactly.
So we try to model that as well. And but yes, we do encourage the public library.
Well, I mean, I was just wondering about your resources, what you put out, you know, mm-hmm. as the primary principal, what areas do you support for families like Dee saying that help their children at home, the resources that they can, you know, use that are, you know, usually free online things that they can tap into?
We have a great resource that we use at the primary school called Seesaw, and it's an app. And we use it for K-2, and it's, like I said, it's free, but it's an online digital portfolio. So if your child is learning their letters, or if they're learning to read sight words, or whatever it is they're doing, if it's math, they can record themselves reading it, and it shows what they're doing. And then the teacher approves it and can make comments and then send it to the parent. And the parent can see it.
That.
So they can see, you know, if a child's having trouble with short A or whatever it is, the
right.
skill that they're working on, they can see what they're actually doing if they have internet access.
How about that?
So it's so neat the way things are going. And now our county they've purchased it for K-2 so that they can see the progression from kindergarten to first to second.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like a portfolio. So it's called Seesaw. And that's a great resource that we use.
Technology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's exactly what it is.
I apologize for interrupting, but will you hang out with us and let's talk a little bit more here on the Big D Show?
Sure.
We've got about 30 more minutes, and it'd be our honor for you to hang out with us.
Thank you.
Number one, it's not the Big D Show. This is Understanding the Law.
Sorry.
Show,
because we're coming back.
As a matter of fact, the Big D Radio Show will be back live on air August 23rd at 6:30 p.m. We took a break during the summer, and we will be we'll be back August 23rd. And so be ready for more business owners that's going to drop in. We're going to have some Nashville recording artists come in and hang out and play with us and play some songs and all kind of fun. But Coleman attorney Melvin Hasten skipped out on me tonight. So he's been in trial. Probably been in court. So he's messing with all these convicts that makes us money in the system. I mean, look, without crime, we'd have no money. Ain't that sad? It really is. I hate to say that, but, you know, if you're an attorney, all you're doing is wait for somebody to commit a crime until they'll hire you. Facts are fact, and that's just the way it is. You're listening to Understanding the Law with Tanya Cupp right here on Live 95.5. We are WRJM Coleman's Independent Radio.
When a disaster occurs, neighbors and community organizations want to reach out and help. But this isn't always easy. That's where your local Coleman County VOAD can help. VOAD stands for Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. Your Coleman County VOAD serves to coordinate relief efforts throughout the county during times of crisis to ensure no area or family is left unassisted. But to do this, the Coleman County VOAD needs your help. Whether you're an individual, faith-based group, civic organization, or business, your Coleman County VOAD needs your help. To learn how you can be a part of the Coleman County VOAD, call the Coleman County EMA at 739-5410. 739-5410.
email ColemanCountyVOAD@gmail.com or search Coleman County VOAD on Facebook. Your Coleman County VOAD is volunteer organizations active in disaster. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
This is Ed Harrell, founder of the Kindness Revolution. I heard a quote this week that I really like. It said, don't put the keys to your happiness in someone else's pocket. I like this. I think it means that we're each responsible for our own happiness and state of mind. I often hear people who say that they'll be happy when they find the person who'll make them happy, or the job, or the trip, or whatever. In any event, they feel like that it's up to someone else for them to be happy. I believe that for these people and for all of us, that the person who will really make us happy is already there, and it's us. So beginning this week, let's try to focus on what we already have that can make us happy. It might be our families, our friends, our health, our opportunities, our freedom. We might just find that our bliss is already in our own pockets, and all we need to do is look. To learn more, check us out at thekindnessrevolution.net.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. Our special guest, Ella and Tanya, is here, and they're hanging out with us. We've been talking about education instead of law. So they're going to hang out with us for about 7 more minutes to the bottom of the hour, and then Danielle and I will get on the law subject. But we're going to go ahead and talk about education just a little bit more. And so Tanya was telling me that they've come up with this new thing called bedtime stories. So, Tanya, if you'll tell us about that.
Yes, we promote reading in the primary school, and we teach children how to read. And so one of the things that we noticed is sometimes our parents don't have time to read with their children at night. And they are working, or, you know, there's so many kids in the family with sports and whatever, they don't have time. So on Monday nights around 5 p.m., we've created a Facebook page for our Good Hope Primary School, and we have started having guest readers. And so it first started out with myself, and I would read some of my favorite books or family books. And then we decided we would have some guest readers. So our superintendent has read. The favorite is Sheriff Gentry.
Matt Gentry.
Matt Gentry is a phenomenal guy. He's a phenomenal sheriff, and he's a great dad. And you could tell he reads with his boys. And so that one was liked. It was in the thousands.
Wow.
And it was actually shared by one of the Memphis newspapers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And we've had one of our state Board of Education representatives, Cynthia McCarty, Dr. McCarty, she's read. And then the one of the CEOs from Milo's has read. We won the Little Something Extra grant for $1,000 for math manipulatives. And so Tom came, and he read with the students. So we've had some of the senators to read, Senator Bussman, and we're always looking for familiar faces and people to read to our students to show them that, you know, reading is everywhere, and to hopefully ignite an excitement for reading.
Exactly. You know, they always say reading is knowledge, and I've always heard that people that read a lot are more successful in life.
It expands your vocabulary, and you know, it's amazing when you read 20 minutes a night, you're exposed, I think it's 4 million vocabulary words.
Really?
And so, you know, we want to build our repertoire for vocabulary, and that's the best way for students to use those vocabulary terms and use them in context.
That's awesome. Look, I have literally seen people that would go to Books A Million, buy a book, and read it in one day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how does somebody do that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, get on the porch and they read the whole book. And, you know, so you got a $50 book that they just read. And so what do you do after that? Do you read it again or do you just sit it down? I don't know.
Well, we actually started a thing. We have a fall festival, and we have instead of a cake walk, we did a book walk. So the parents would donate books back. So hopefully students would get books that they wanted to read and a new book. So hopefully we will get some of those back again and recirculate those. Right. Because, you know, books are great. They never go away. And but, you know, you can share them with someone else.
So, and it's been many years since I've been to school, so is the library actually used?
Absolutely.
A lot?
Yes.
And do
yes.
kids actually still get hard books and carry home to read?
They do. They have all kinds of books that are online, but there's something about holding that book in your hand and flipping through the
exactly.
pages and seeing it. And we actually have authors that come and speak to our students about
really?
how to make a book and about the writing process. And our students go to library every week, and our library media specialist teaches them about technology. She teaches them about books, about authors, about the different genres. And we encourage them, because when I was in school, it was all about fiction.
Exactly.
And now we want to talk about fiction and nonfiction and, you know, get kids to find what they love, but then, you know, introduce them to other books that they might be interested in, authors and things like that.
So, and now do you encourage the kids to have their little iPads and read off of them too? Or do you encourage them more just to check a book out?
We just want them to read.
Just want them to read.
Just want them to read. And you know, sometimes with AR, that's accelerated reader, that's where kids read a book and take a test and get points. You know, for us, it's about reading newspapers, reading magazines, just read. It's not just about, you know, what you're going to get out of it. We want them to love reading.
So can you explain to me exactly what the AR thing does? Because I've heard about it, but I really don't understand it.
It's, you know, a lot of schools use those. What it is it bases it off of quantitative and qualitative scores. And they assign points based on the book. For example, a Harry Potter book is worth many points,
okay.
and, you know, some of them are half points. And so teachers set goals, and, you know, it encourages kids to read, because sometimes kids don't have that encouragement at home, or, you know, some teachers don't encourage it. So it's good for a motivator, but sometimes some of the questions are not as difficult.
Right.
You can watch the movie and make a passing grade. So it's one way that teachers use to check up to make sure they're reading the books.
Gotcha.
But for me, it's about the love for reading and about just immersing yourself in books and in print.
Awesome. Well, look, we appreciate you jumping in here and me just making you sit down and be interviewed for a little while.
Thanks for having me.
And come back anytime you want to.
We'll do it.
You can come back on the Big D Radio Show and hang out, and we'll
Sounds
talk
great.
About education and whatever else. Ella, thank you for being with me this evening.
No problem.
Ella is the star of the show, and she always is. Coming up next, Big D and Little D, we're going to talk about Alabama law and several different cases that's going on right now. We've got some murder trials going on, so we're going to dive into those and talk about what's going on in Coleman and beyond. You're listening to Understanding the Law with Big D. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here's a new Live 95 suggestion on how to prepare for the new work week. On Sunday night, you cook dinner. You help the kids finish their homework. You scream at your husband. You take the trash out. You make sure your kids brush their teeth. You tuck them in, sigh loudly, then pick up your remote control and turn on Sunday Night Live on Live 95. It's like being at a music festival, but without the illegal vapors, bright lights, and rednecks around you. However, if you want to make it more authentic, you can pour beer all over yourself. Sunday Night Live, all live tracks from 9 o'clock until midnight, right here on Coleman's independent radio station, Live 95. Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95.
Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that.
This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95kullman.com today, or visit our website, live95kullman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Kullman's independent radio. You're listening to Live 95.
Welcome back. Live 95 is Kullman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Kullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Kullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. Big D and the little D's in the house. Kullman attorney Melvin Hastings could not make it this evening. I'm actually going to get my paper towels for a holder over here for my cell phone. How classy is that right there? Hey, look, Ella wanted to talk about tiny sinks at the primary school in Good Hope, and she didn't have time, so this goes out to Ella. She says they're really cute, and they're really tiny sinks for kids. So there you go. I'll have to go all the way down there and just look at those sinks, get a picture of them.
They're wee little bees. They put them in daycares. They put them everywhere. And, our countertops are a certain size. Their countertops are a certain size.
Okay.
And their sinks are modified and made especially for them because they're little people.
Got you.
So, you know, little people. Kindergarten, first, and second are wee little ones.
So you don't call them kids little people.
They're wee little people. They're wee little people, Daryl.
No, they're not
6 foot. What I'm saying is you have a child that's that size and you're at a standard size sink, you're struggling to wash your hands
correctly.
That's a kid. Correctly.
That's not little people. Little people's
they're
like.
They're little kids.
What do they call little people now?
Here we go.
You can't call them midgets because that.
I wasn't going to get involved.
I should have watched my wording there, Jay.
I got drugged. I'm not a huge Marvel fan, but you know, Melissa is a huge movie buff, and I got drugged to see Ant-Man and the Wasp a week or two ago.
I watched that.
Was all little people flying around.
All right, I got you.
And I thought, well, you know, was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids not good enough?
There you go.
We do it again.
Got to do a sequel.
Ella and I watched it last week. Yeah, and it was very interesting.
Well, look, all I'm trying to be is politically correct, because if you say midget, that pisses all of them off.
You can't
say
that. And BTW, you can't say that word on the radio either.
What's the other one? Dwarf, that they don't like? So now everybody's got to be called little people.
Y'all can blame it on Big D.
No, why? If I'm 3'5", why am I going to get mad if somebody calls me a midget? I mean, really.
I don't know.
It's just a term.
But little JC on Big Brother the other night.
Hey, look, I'm a huge Big Brother fan.
I was really thinking we were way past that because, you know, you've got a little person in, like, most of the movies nowadays, too, you know.
It was this episode where he used the N-word in an indirect way, and then the dwarf and the...
And the midget word came out, and he got offended. I'm like, really?
To the point he was pissed off now.
Oh, my goodness.
Again, today's society. Use that word on the radio.
Today's society is so crazy. It really is. All right, so look, let's just jump into a couple of the big news stories. Okay, so we have a dog named Cletus died July 16th after being struck by a boat near Goat Island on Lake Martin. Now, the Elmore County Sheriff says that the boat driver is going to face criminal charges. So what do you think about that, Danielle?
I could see it if it was a human, but I can't see it being a dog. Even though I, you know, we have Bailey and I love her. I'm her mommy, and I couldn't imagine someone hitting her with the boat. But to press charges, I mean, that's not a human life. That's a dog's life. Well, look, they would have to show intent. Knowing the law the way that I do, I would say
there
that,
was no intent.
Exactly.
To hurt that
so
dog.
How can you prosecute someone without intent?
There is a huge spectrum in difference between, you know, how people feel for pets. And
I love
true,
my pet.
True,
I deal with this too from a rental, because, you know, we've got people who won't even come unless they have their pets, and then we have other people that are fine, you know, stashed them away at the pet home for a day or two. But they're all over the place. And I mean, I respect their wishes. All of us are different. I mean, personally, I like a plastic straw. I don't know about y'all, but I mean,
easy. Don't be living in California saying that, Jay.
Oh, here we go.
What in the world is up with this plastic straw thing? I mean,
it's not that anymore, Daryl. You have to have the paper straw wrapped individually in plastic.
Y'all are something. Y'all are something.
It's
y'all
crazy. Today's society. Oh, my goodness.
If I didn't have Facebook, my life would not be corrupted. But now all of these people that are going way off the deep end on the right, you know, I got my holster full of plastic straws. You know, I'm going to get you.
So, and I read today, LeBron James says that President Trump is trying to separate sports teams now by using his authority of being the president of the United States. I guess he's trying to, I don't know, dismember sports teams because, you know, of what he's saying about the NFL and that nobody should be taking a knee. So now LeBron James is going, well, oh, yeah. So now I guess here we go. I mean, does this guy have any common sense whatsoever? Now, if LeBron James was a plumber, would he be saying this? No. He's saying it's because he's a basketball player.
I think a certain level of notoriety empowers people to think, hey, you know, and Donald Trump is a great example of this. You know, if people know who I am, then I can say what I want to say on the internet, on the Twitter feed, and all of a sudden, you know, I matter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's you'll see it every week, especially when football season starts back. There's going to be different ones that's going to try to get some publicity out of something stupid that they're going to say.
And help them if they say something stupid, because especially if the right people read it and it hits the flames of Twitter, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I didn't mean to say that. It came out. I didn't think it would be taken that way by 80 million people, but, you know, here we are.
I think, you know, but look, everybody has an opinion, and that's your liberty. That's, you know, that's your freedom, and you definitely should have that. We've had so many women, men and women in this military to die for our freedoms, and thank you to all of them. But to come out and just say some stupid crap like that, I mean, that's just, you're just trying to be noticed. I mean, maybe basketball season isn't going very well, so you need to be outspoken and say something stupid. So he got his 5 minutes of fame.
There is not a filter in most cases between what they think and what shows up on Twitter. If they would stop and count to 10, it might help everybody except Donald Trump. But, you know, still.
Oh, me. But, hey, look, and this is just my personal opinion. I think Donald Trump is doing a great job. I think he continues to do a great job.
I have no complaints.
And, you know, it was good for me to see North Korea hand over the remains of military personnel that has died there many years ago. So to have the remains on U.S. soil meant the world to me. And I actually got choked up a little bit as soon as I read it. So... He does good things. And I know a lot of people don't like him. Some crazy guy took a pic and wore out his star on Hollywood Boulevard and then turned himself in. But you know as well as I do, they're not going to do nothing to this guy.
Well, two things that I have noticed more recently, I guess, than all along. You know, I've said this, and it's not 100% accurate. It's about 90% accurate. But he's the only president I can remember, really one of the only lawmakers I can remember, who has done what he said he would do. Now, yeah, there's been a few things that you know, haven't quite come to fruition. Mexico hasn't paid for the wall. There's a few other things that, you know.
Holy
and I mean, I mean, you could use your imagination on that a little bit. You know, if he's going to go in and he's going to rework NAFTA and redo all of the trade agreements, you know, he's going to get them to pay through the taxes. I mean, you could use your imagination to make that work. And then the other thing, I done forgot what I was going to say, so never mind.
Well, look, this is my opinion only, not the opinion of Live 95.5. I think it had to have been the most stupidest thing that Bill Clinton ever done when he signed NAFTA. At that time, I was in the apparel industry, and, of course, we had sewing plants all over the United States, and as soon as they signed NAFTA, we shut them down, and we sent all of our sewing to Mexico. Once we started getting our blue jeans back from Mexico, they were all irregular jeans because they did not know how to sew. So now we're getting in literally 20, 30, 40,000 pairs of jeans back, you know, on a truckload, and we're selling them to some of your smaller stores, Dollar General, Family Dollar, for $3 a pair because they're not first quality. So now here we are. We have lost our rear end. And that's just the way it went, and it was that way for a long time. And so I never understood NAFTA. I never understood when Mexico went bankrupt how Bill Clinton was quickly ready to throw some money at them the very next day and bail them out. Let me tell you something. Mexico's not good for us. Supplying their government money is not good for us. We're not going to gain anything out of Mexico. I mean, Mexico is run by drug cartel. You can't even go on vacation because people are getting killed every day. So even when you go to your fancy resorts like Cozumel and some of these other places, they're telling you don't go a mile, you know, inland or 2 miles because
don't even go outside of the gates.
There you go. Yeah. And I mean, I have read over the last 2 months. I don't know how many people killed at all these resorts. It's phenomenal. I mean, we're talking like 50, 60 people within a two-week period. Stuffed in cars. Killed. Mutilated. So, Mexico, I don't know what Mexico is, but it's a dumping grounds that's run by drug cartel, and nobody is going to go in there and fight them. The Mexican government is not going to do anything because they can't do anything. Because a drug cartel runs the government. If you want to believe that, you can. If you don't, you don't have to. But it's true. There's no way that it's not true.
Well, now, we could compare them to us about 100 years ago. You know, the mob got close to running this country, but we grew a backbone and put a stop to that.
Exactly.
This could have been us.
Exactly right. And it's just crazy how that drug cartel is just running the show. And so, you know, if you're a red-blooded American, you say, well, let's just go down there and start killing. Well, you can't. You can't go down there and start killing because you're going to kill innocent people. That has nothing to do with the drug cartel. And all they're trying to do is just, you know, have a dollar and have something to eat at night. So, but I agree with you. You know, Trump, he has stepped forward. He says everything that he means, and he means what he says. So, you know, about a week ago, the guy over in Iran was jacking his jaw, and Trump just come up to the front and said, hey, look, don't threaten us, because you will pay. And you know what? That guy knows for a fact he's smart enough. He knows that Trump really means what he says. So in the very beginning, when Trump took president, so we had trouble with, you know, with the guy from North Korea. You know, he's calling Trump all kind of names. He's threatening the United States. I'll blow you off this map. I'll blow you off the world. I hate America. I will kill all of you. Trump stands up and says, no, you won't, because we will come over to North Korea and completely wipe out your country. And you know what? He believed him. He believed Trump when he said it. And then things started changing, and now he wants to have talks with them. Now they're shaking hands. Now North Korea is bringing the human remains back of military personnel. Trump is the man that when he says something, he's going to do it. The same thing happened when Ronald Reagan took office. We had all these folks that were captives in Iran President Carter is basically begging Iran to release all these prisoners, all these captives. And Iran laughed, literally, at Jimmy Carter and said, it's not going to happen. There's nothing you can say, there's nothing you can do that we're going to let these people free. The election is now over. Ronald Reagan has taken over as president of the United States, and Iran comes up and says, hey, by the way, we're putting all of these captives on an airplane, and we're going to send them to America. Why? Because Ronald Reagan's crazy, and he will come to Iran, and he will nuke us. He'll do anything and everything that he can because he's that man, and he was. And when Gaddafi was doing all of his stupid crap, you know, and taking over an airplane, killing people, Ronald Reagan told him, I'll come to your house. And he did. He sent the Air Force fighters flying at a very low level once they got to land over there, under radar, and they went to his house. And they bombed his house. So Ronald Reagan, you know, when a man says something like that, you listen to him. Because you don't want to die personally. And you don't want your family to die. So when North Korea opened their eyes up a few months ago and says, you know what? Oh, Donald Trump, he's crazy. I guarantee you, he's going to do exactly what he says. So it's going to be surprising to me to see how Iran is going to, maybe which direction they're going to go in. Are they going to believe that Trump is crazy, like everybody else has, to say that man's going to do what he says? We're going to find out over the next few weeks exactly what happens. Because here we've had Israel, you know, being bombed on a little bit here lately. And over toward the Golan Heights, which of course, you know, you've had many of the nations over in the Middle East that wanted to take the Golan Heights back. And Israel said, we're never going to give up the Golan Heights. It's not going to happen. So a lot of your controversy with Israel is about the Golan Heights. So it doesn't matter how many people that you send over there, and this is my religious belief, is that you're never really going to do any harm to Israel because it's God's people. He's going to protect them. And, you know, Iran can bark and Syria can bark all that they want to about taking over the Golan Heights and or just in general to destroy Israel because they hate Israel. Because they do not like Christianity. They have their own religion that they practice each and every day. And they think the whole world should practice like they do. Well, that's not going to happen. So you can sit here and talk about how you want to kill Israel and blow them off the map. But the bottom line is, you're never going to do it. It's never going to happen. So if you wanted to get all of your jet fighters tonight and do a secret attack on Israel to literally kill everybody in that nation, it won't happen. God won't let it happen. That's my belief, and I believe that with every percent of my being. Nobody will ever touch Israel. So, you know, it's funny to see how the world transitions. I've seen over the last 10 years how many dictators have lost power and or within a 2 or 3 year period several years ago, several dictators died. So now you can take that for what it's worth, but I really believe that a lot of that ties back to the Bible. So now I'm not trying to get into the whole religion thing. I'm talking about, you know, different things, but mainly talking about Trump. because everybody's going, that guy's crazy. And he's just a man that really believes in America. And he wants the best for everybody. There's no doubt he wants the best for everybody. So you may hate Trump, you may like Trump, but the bottom line, he's the president of the United States. And I guarantee you, he really wants what's best for America. Our economy has done better. I mean, there's new places coming up. Businesses is doing well. And it's good to see the economy turn in a right direction. So, you know, and how can I say that? How can I say that? Because when I go to Birmingham and I'm going to a restaurant to eat like Jay does all the time, and you see these restaurants that's really nice, that's completely packed full of people, and you're waiting 2 hours to sit down, let me tell you something. The economy's doing well. Otherwise, these people are going to be sitting at home eating pinto beans and cornbread because they can't afford to do anything. The economy is doing well, and it's a good thing.
Big D's not going to wait 2 hours.
No, I'm not waiting 2 hours, nowhere. Hey, look, so we went to P.F. Chang's about a week ago. So my strategy was hit P.F. Chang's about 4 or 5 o'clock, and there'll be no waiting. Oh, man, walked right in, got a table, and it was incredible. And I just love P.F. Chang's. Jay, have you ever ate at P.F. Chang's, by the way?
I'm a very picky eater, so we shouldn't even go down that.
You don't like P.F. Chang's? Are you serious?
He's like you.
Oh, I love the shrimp basket.
I love the shrimp basket.
I do like some shrimp. Now, I was angry the other day, and I don't even start on that. Why is everybody removing corn on the cob? That's like one of my favorite foods.
I don't know. I love corn on the cob.
I'm going to have to protest that.
But, you know, I've always liked corn on the cob from KFC, though.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very similar to you guys. I hate waiting in line. So I tend to eat like 2 o'clock or 7 o'clock or right. Something like that. So there's not that much of a line. And if I have to have a line, I'm just unhappy.
Yeah, that's me.
Instant gratification, that's me.
But yeah, P.F. Chang's is one of my favorites. And so we went down there, and the lettuce wraps are incredible. Oh my goodness.
You can dream about them.
I think I could eat it 7 days a week. But you know what I do, and now I've got on a roll. Every time I go to Outback, I always get prime rib. Every time.
Yeah.
And knock on wood, it's always been good.
The last couple times we've been, that's what
but
you've
got. If I ever get a bad prime rib, I probably won't eat it again.
But now their Bloomin' Onions is just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Bloomin' Onions, it's good, and it's full of grease, and it's clogging up your arteries. But you know what? They taste good.
So here's a little trick that we learned after like 15 times going to the Outback. Is you can order a Bloomin' Petal, and it is so much smaller than the Bloomin' Onion, you don't have to take half of it home with you.
I don't even think I know what a petal is.
Make a note of that. It's like a half order of a Bloomin' Onion.
Really? I never knew that.
Now you heard it here first.
How about that?
We're going to do it. Jay, we're going to do it.
A petal.
A Bloomin' Petal.
Yep. But, because you know what? When they bring it out, and I literally eat 80% of it, I'm so full. I can't even eat my prime rib.
And he loves prime rib.
And I love prime rib. And I hate to carry anything home, you know, and heat it up.
He's not a leftover kind of guy.
I'm not either. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if I eat it, I eat it once, and then tomorrow something else.
No, I made steak the other night with fresh green beans, Jay, and he went back for seconds and then ate them the next day, too.
Oh, look.
Oh, my gosh.
Look, we had some really awesome green beans, you know, right out of the garden. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it beats the old 33-cent green beans out of the can.
They were amazing.
At the local Benton Dent store. Oh, man. Look, I swear, I have blinked my eye, and it's August. And I'm thinking, it's time to go Christmas shopping. Because I always go 3 or 4 months early. Always. Every year. And I'm like, how in the world is it already August? And Christmas is right around the corner. Is that not insane? So the older you get, time flies by faster.
No, honey, it doesn't.
Oh, yes, it does. The older you get.
That way.
No, it's for real. Because I can remember being a kid and waiting for like a month to go by. Man, it's been like 4 years. And I'm like, how long is this month going to last? Now you blink your eye and the month's over.
From somebody who gets bored easily, that would be me. It would probably be you. Bored is not the right word to use. I have to have, you know, a regular changing up of my life. Monotony is not good. But I think that's part of why it feels like it's moving faster, because there's so much routine to our lives that it's just day after day after day after day after day.
You're exactly right.
You know, when you're in middle school or in high school or college, you know, every 3 or 4 years is viciously different. I'm having a hard time picking the right words, but, you know, they're extremely different from middle school to high school to college, you know, and going through that whole young adult thing. I mean, it's so bad people have written songs about it, you know.
Yeah, and making money.
That's right.
And we're microwave people.
Microwave?
Yeah.
Now we're getting deep. Now we're just getting deep.
Look, it's rare that I ever use my microwave at home.
No, I'm using that as an analogy.
Oh, okay.
We're microwave people. We want everything fast.
Oh, I got you.
You know, we're not slow.
Instant gratification.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be fast.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be fast.
And everybody's quickly on the move. Got to go. And unfortunately, that's my life.
Daryl has road rage, by the way.
I do have road rage.
He drives 1 hour and 20 minutes every day.
Lord. Yeah, I drive 1 hour and 20 minutes going to work.
If you could have a recorder in his look, with him.
Hey, look, I actually bought a dash cam, and I have yet to install it in my truck.
Because it'd be scary, Jay.
Hey, let me tell you something. Because people these days, they can't drive. No,
it is a lot worse now than even 10 years ago.
Yes, it is. I agree.
And it's not just here. It's like everywhere. But yeah, a lot of it is the traffic, you know, the amount of people that are driving. And you would think that that's decreasing. I mean, that's what I keep hearing about the younger generation. They don't even go get licenses anymore. They're all about Lyft and Uber and public transportation and whatever, which we don't have much of that here. I mean, I understand we're getting Lyft. I don't know.
Look, I have never really sat down to understand what Uber is. And
Uber is the modern-day taxi. Except you're not having to be regulated by the government. That's what Uber is.
So anybody can be a Uber driver?
Anybody can be an Uber driver. Anybody can put an Uber app on your... Now, okay, let me take that back. There are a couple of restrictions. For example, Uber wants you to have a relatively new car or a newish car, you know, a car that's not going to break down on you.
Got you.
I don't think... I mean, I've even read horror stories about people that drove for Uber that, you know, they don't do background checks and things. So just about anybody can be an Uber driver. So
here we go.
Melvin will be making more money.
But, you know, I have been out on conferences. I've been out on trips. We did a big trip in Florida like 6 or 7 months ago, and the whole thing was Uber. I mean, take me from Deerfoot Beach all the way down to Miami. That's like 1 hour and 15 minutes.
So somebody drove you that far?
Yeah. Yep, just part of their regular routine.
So what are you doing, looking for a Uber sticker on their car or something? I mean, how do you know who's a Uber driver?
You have an app, and then you tell the app where you want to go, and it notifies the driver. The driver comes and picks you up. You know who they are based on the tag number and the person and stuff like that.
How about that?
And we always interrogate everybody as we're riding around. How long you been doing this? Do you like it? You know, what else do you do? Well, I got tired of doing my day job, and my kids are in college, and, you know, I'm tired of working all the time, but I need a couple of extra hours, so this is what I do on the side. You know, it's kind of like some guys I know that, you know, they want a little extra cash, so they go drive for Domino's or something, you know.
All right, so let me ask you this, and I don't want to be nosy, but I am.
I am not an Uber driver.
Exactly how much did they charge you? Did they charge you like per mile or something?
They have a base minimum, and then they have a rate that I think is between the mileage rate and how long it takes, because, you know, you can get stuck in traffic and that kind of thing. But, I mean, it was on average 30 to 40% less than like a taxi cab would charge you.
Wow.
And
that's much
less than a rental car. You know, plus I don't know the roads. These people do. And, of course, you take your life in your hand. It's in people's back seat. But, you know, we made it.
All right, so I'm going to be nosy. How much did they charge you to carry you 1 hour down the road?
About $70.
Hey, that's worth it.
Yeah,
I'd pay it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd pay it in a second.
And I didn't. When you get into Miami, you have 8-lane highways.
So yeah, and I didn't have to pay attention to the stuff around me, or, you know, I talked the whole way. You know, it's cool.
That's
awesome. And you get to meet people.
All right.
So when I retire, I might be an Uber driver. Be all good.
I think that'd be cool. Man, what if you had an old... What if you could have one of those old station wagons that had the wood paneling on the side? Man, you could probably throw like 30 people in there at one time. You'd make a killing.
Well, they've changed that up. They have different sizes. Like, they have the Uber and then Uber Black, Uber something else or other. I don't know. I guess I should go take this call. Hang on a second.
All right, look, we're getting a call right at the end of the show. Hey, look, you can give us a call at 737-9505 right here on Live 95.5 WRJM FM Coleman. Oh, dang it. We're at the end of the show, though.
It's probably Melvin.
All right, we have a caller. Let's see how fast we can all talk.
We can do it. Hello, caller.
You're on. Hi, Big Day. It's Brenda.
Oh, it's Brenda.
Brenda, are you a Uber driver?
Okay, I missed that part. Is Miss Cup still there?
Who? Oh, no. She already stepped out. Miss Cup.
Okay.
We're
no, I was going to...
Facebook feed's 20 minutes old. Sorry.
The what?
Your Facebook feed's 20 minutes old. Sorry.
I guess. It's for those ones that, you know, said ugly words, I guess. But anyway, now I worked with her mother, and when I was at Welty, she was one of our guidance counselors 1 year, and she was precious. And I've got some friends that teach at Good Hope Primary, and they all just love her. So anyway, but what was the question?
I said, are you a Uber driver?
Uber.
Uber.
Uber?
I'm sorry. Uber.
Not Uber.
Uber.
Uber. Is Uber?
No, Uber.
It's Uber. Uber.
Okay, because if you're talking about Uber, yeah, it's all about me when I'm driving. But if you're saying Uber or Uber, then that's...
I'm just going to say Dilbert.
I've taken a call of Uber when we were at the Kid Rock concert in Atlanta.
There you go.
And I've used them. So what's the question?
So what was your experience with it? Was the driver really cool? Was he nice?
Well, the first guy was the guy that picked us up from the hotel. And like I said, we were in Atlanta. Now he was from another country. And stupid me, I was like, "Oh, you're Jamaican? No, far from Jamaican. I was Nigerian."
That's close.
Like I can't tell the difference in accents. But anyway, so Wade and everybody else just sat there and was quiet. And of course, you know me, I talked, you know, 90 to nothing, and we talked politics, we talked everything. You could have eaten off his seat. They were so clean. And we asked him if he could come back and pick us up afterwards, but he already had a scheduled pickup at the airport. But he was so sweet when I was over with, and he pulled us right up in front of the venue. He popped up in his trunk, gave all of us waters. And he even looked at me, and he was like, "You're the white girl I won't forget." Oh, so that was quite fun. Now, the guy that we jumped in his van afterwards, he was running over people. He was knocking into people.
Wow.
He had his headphones in his ears. And so, of course, he wasn't listening to me trying to, you know, calm things down. And everybody else's just eyes were just big. And we just, thank God, we got back to the hotel.
Well, good deal. Well, at least you had one good experience, so.
Yes. Well, and I've taken some, like, you know, I've taken others too. They've been great. So there's just that one bad, but the rest were great.
Yeah, when you get done, you get to rate them, like 1-star to 5-star. And I think if you give the guy enough 1-stars, then he's fired.
Gone.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
really?
No more Uber.
Crowdsourcing.
Well, this guy, I probably should have rated because he was like, people were, and you can imagine at a Kid Rock concert, the type of people that were there from, you know, from high class to rednecks to you name it. And when he would bump into, and he was also from Nigeria, so when he would bump into some people, there were people pounding on the hood of a van, and I just thought, you know, made the sign across that if you could please let's get back to the hotel.
Get me back to Coleman.
Well, we were still in Atlanta, so we just got to the hotel. I just wanted the hotel. Atlanta will be the next, or Coleman will be the next day.
How cool. Well, we appreciate you calling in, Brenda.
Okay. And what's my tomatoes?
Hey, look, August 23rd, the Big D Radio Show will be back on the air, and you can come be my special guest.
I think I done dropped her.
All right, that's fine. She heard it
I
anyway.
Pressed the red button.
Not the red button, please. Everybody, thanks for being tuned in. Sorry, Melvin couldn't make it. He'll be here next week. Don't forget, August 23rd, Thursday, the Big D Radio Show returns back on the air. We're going to have all kind of new guests, new musical guests, Nashville recording artists. It's going to be fun, the Big D Radio Show. You're listening to Understanding the Law. On behalf of Little D, this is Big D, and with Jay.
Woohoo!
Catch us next time, next Tuesday, at 6 p.m. for another edition of Understanding the Law. You are listening to Live 95.5 Coleman's Only Rock Station.
Man, you keep saying all the rock stuff. I'm going to have to find an actual rock song now. Like some Nirvana or something like that. I don't know.